Hey friends, it is episode number 13, lucky or not, of The Art of Letting Go. I'm thankful you are here to join me, and today's episode is about those things that we forget to remember, or maybe the things we remember to forget. Either way, somehow or another, I've done it, you've done it, but how do we rectify it? Is it rectifiable? Is rectifiable a word? Let's find out right now on The Art of Letting Go. Okay, so let's put this to bed right away. Rectifiable is a word, and it means able to be rectified. Thank you very much for that very obvious answer, Merriam-Webster. It also has something to do with math. So the second I saw that, I got really glossed over and I moved on quickly. But if you know what that means from a math perspective, I am very happy for you. As an educator, I'm glad that you knew that. I'm also glad to know that as an English teacher, I didn't destroy the English language with poor grammar. Regardless, and it was on my mind, so I had to figure it out before I went to the next segment. Okay, moving on. I recently discovered an email that was asking specific questions about liver disease. And it was a message that was sent to me, not this past week, but I said, let me look at that and I'll get back to you. Except I didn't. And so when I discovered it, my heart sank because I feel as though I let that person down. It really sank further when I realized that the message was from 4 months ago. And I don't know what it was that happened in my life, clearly something that wasn't worth the effort, that made me miss responding to this person. Guilt is a heavy, heavy load to bear, even about a simple message. Some people are so able to just move on that it doesn't affect them. For me, it certainly does, and it did. And I am trying to rectify it. If you're like me, this episode's for you. Let's begin after this on The Art of Letting Go. Okay, so based on analytics that are built into the podcast, I'm able to determine the age bracket of individuals who are listening to the podcast. And I'm so grateful for the 1,200 plus listeners. It truly means a lot. Most of you are my age. You're between the ages of 45 and I believe it's 54, if I'm not mistaken. I'm smack dab in the middle, 49 years old. Some days I'm shocked I made it this far, and other days I have no idea how I'm this old, simply because I don't feel like it. Above that, it really just goes into one analytic, one age group, so 55 and above, which sadly is a lot closer than I wished to imagine, but 55 and above is the second largest listening audience that tunes into The Art of Letting Go. This is all to say, I'm going to use the phrase left on read. And you may not know what that means, so I will use my skills of decipherability, another word I've probably made up, to explain that left on read means that the message you sent was read by the presumed audience it was intended, but no reply was given. And it doesn't mean to turn left on red. That would be breaking the law. I'll double check with my buddies on the police force, but I'm feeling pretty confident about that. So it feels odd and sad and sometimes dismissive when we are left on read, when someone, it seems, has deliberately read the message and made a conscious decision to ignore us. It's hard. This has happened in my family recently, and it's affected conversations that have happened. So it can be a difficult situation. And while I don't want to necessarily broach that, I do want to talk about what happens when someone who's not used to maybe my form of communication, or maybe not used to being left on read, or had a message they know was received and a response was not given, it does hit a little differently. It does. And I feel quite certain that for me, when I read a message, I try to respond in the moment. But here's what happens. And I know this because I've been left unread many times. I've also probably turned left unread, but I don't need any more points on my license, so I'm not admitting anything here. But when I'm left unread, I feel as though I did something to offend that person, or I feel as though I've hurt them in some way, or maybe this is just a litmus test to see if I'm worth the effort of being responded to. And what probably hurts when I do that the most is that I, for the life of me, cannot figure out why I would be left unread. So when I do it to somebody, I have to go back and think a little bit about that process of why it is that I didn't respond. Was I brushing somebody off? Now, let me say, I want to almost kind of justify my action in this particular episode where I had an individual who had received news about liver disease and was asking me very specific, pointed questions about what they should expect. I'll also say that I often receive messages, questions about intestinal diseases and liver diseases, and that humbles me because it means my story connected well before there was a podcast. So in this case, for someone to have written me about liver disease or concern about health with either liver or intestine, it was not necessarily an isolated case that I would receive an email or a message of some type. So in the case of this one in particular, there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of hesitation. There were a lot, I could feel the intensity of the emotion coming out of that email. And I read that I responded, but it was obviously very late at night. So probably the ability to stay focused was lost. For that person, they were in that moment, that was their height of emotion, but I was not engaging in the way I should have. So I wrote, let me look at that and I'll get back to you. I've not communicated with that person for the last 4 months since receiving that email. And as I sit here, I get kind of a rock in my gut that I did that. Do you feel that way? Maybe it's not something as serious as a health condition. Maybe it was somebody just seeking advice on a job, a relationship, and they sought you out for advice and you let them down. You didn't respond. How did you deal with that? Or are you one of those individuals who, when you realize that hurt has happened, well, frankly, maybe it didn't hurt. And so you're not going to invest any emotion into it. And you're not likely to reach out and apologize for the slight. And I do believe that not only do I know people, I think I'm related to people like that. Part of me feels as though boy, I wish I wasn't, that, you know, everybody would take the time to respond. But at other times, I completely get it because we've all done it. And if you're raising your hand and saying legitimately, I've never done that, boy, I feel so fortunate to know you. Because that is an art and a skill that I wish I could remember, that I wish I could truly learn. And that the art of responding to someone's need, to someone's crisis, or maybe it's just simply someone's wonderment, is something that isn't lost on me, but the skill behind it is something I haven't trained myself to do. And maybe you're like that. Again, you could be like, again, I know people who just say, oh, darn, look at that. I got this message 4 months ago and I forgot to respond. Oh, well, I sure hope they figured it out. Like, don't you know people like that? And it doesn't have to be a message. Maybe it was a phone call. Maybe you're going through your child's backpack and you realize, oh, there's a permission slip I forgot to sign. Boy, I've done that one a few times. We can say we legitimately, when unpacking our youngest son's book bag, we legitimately found a check that he had not turned in, but almost worse, we didn't check to see that it was cashed. I'm sure you've had experiences like that too. We all have fun stories about school and kids, etc. But we hopefully don't all have fun stories about how we ignored someone's request. And I should say, and I do feel as though this is a legitimate argument, that not everything is life and death when it comes to these moments. What some people may believe needs a response in the moment. Like, it's my understanding you're left on read if you read the message and you don't respond right then. Well, gee whiz, let me think about it. But that's not how it works, okay? We're in an instant gratification society. So if someone reads the message, we expect that they're going to respond to it right away. And the part that becomes frustrating for someone like myself who wants to try to rectify that, who wants to try to apologize, is once that moment's gone, once that window has closed for me to be helpful, I fight so hard to try to still be helpful instead of just shutting up, instead of maybe just apologizing and letting it go. I have this little need. It's almost like a scab on a mosquito bite, and you pick, pick, pick. So you reach out to somebody who has, you know, taken the time to write you, and you say, oh, I'm so sorry that I did not respond. You could honestly say you thought you did, or you don't say anything about that. I'm sorry I didn't respond in the moment. Are you still in need? And if that person says, no, got it figured out, thanks, I should be well-trained enough to read that response the way it's written, which is, leave me alone. Or just don't talk about that. But no, 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 no. Pick, pick, pick. Scab on a mosquito bite. I got to make that puppy bleed again. Maybe I'm opening up somebody's closed wound. They don't want to go back and revisit it. Maybe in the case of this liver disease, maybe it was a life-changing diagnosis. And they turned to a person that they knew had gone through it. They needed some sage advice, if you will. My ability to pay it forward was lost in that moment because I did not respond. Now, maybe I'm making too much of a fuss about one response. That's a pretty good argument. I mean, it's a big one, right? someone trusts you and tells you about a diagnosis, and you don't take the time, if you will, to respond to it. And I believe even that happens in good intention. That can still happen because life, A, and B, 2020. There probably will be a point at which we cannot use 2020 as our excuse for everything. But right now, we can ride that coattail at least until December 31st at 11:59 p.m. In the case of these unread messages, or the presumed read messages, or the messages that we don't presume, we know emphatically that they have been read. If you receive messages on Instagram or Snapchat, you know in the moment if the message has been read. Facebook Messenger is a little bit more complicated because you can always have your application open and it can look as though you've read the message when you probably weren't paying attention enough. I digress. When we don't take the time to respond to somebody's need, does that make us the ass? How bad are we supposed to feel? Is it okay to feel bad? Or is it just better to apologize and let it go? What's the correct response? I'm still trying to figure that out. I've got some thoughts, and I'll be back with those in just a moment. So I have been thinking about these things to remember, the messages that I have somehow forgotten about, or the slight one-offs that I say things such as, I'll get back with you, or yeah, let's hang out, or that sounds fun. But maybe my heart isn't in it, or my ability to pay attention in that moment is certainly not there. But is the sincerity there? Did I really have the intent of going back and finishing that discussion? Or did I have intent to go out with someone and catch up for lunch? Did I intend to have fun? I don't know. Sometimes I do. Sometimes, probably, if we're honest with ourselves, we say these things and we don't have real intent in doing them. And I think at the heart of it, this is what happens in messages. I don't believe people intend on being that dismissive or cruel. They just may not be engaged. At the same time, when, you know, I think back on four-month-old messages that seemingly do require a response, especially when I've offered to respond. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just a matter of, yeah, that sounds fun, or, hey, yeah, let's do that sometime. It's, I will get back to you. As a reader of specific words, I'm hanging on that word will. And so I'm waiting for your response. Except for the shoe was on the other foot. And I was the one who was supposed to be giving the response, and I didn't. And again, maybe you've done that. If you're in business, I feel certain that you've inadvertently done that to someone else. And maybe it's cost you actual business. It's hard to always know exactly the extent to which our lack of doing something may affect other people. At the heart of it, we think it just affects us and us alone, or our direct circle. But ultimately, every action has an equal and sometimes greater reaction. Right? I learned that in theater, and I'm sure it's something to do with kinesthesia or something. I don't know. That's science talk. That's not why you're here. And honestly, I couldn't give a good talk on science, so I'm just going to save you the energy. But I have thought about the best way to respond to a message that old. I mean, the first and simplest is don't say anything about the fact I didn't respond. Just go ahead and write the response. Here are the things that I said I would get back to you on. Now, it seems a little cheap that my response doesn't include the fact that I had ignored you, whether deliberate or not. I mean, it's still being called ignored. And I feel certain I could probably talk to businessmen and women that I know personally, and they can talk in great detail about the happenings of getting ignored and what happens in business when you do. We know this as teachers, especially in an age where we're doing school online. When we get ignored by our students, we take it personally. And we'll sugarcoat it, or we'll say things like, well, it's not my grade. I already graduated high school. But you take it personally when a student ignores your instruction. And again, maybe we shouldn't. But then, shouldn't we be consistent across the board? Shouldn't we then be consistently upset by the fact that a message got ignored? And then, when you do decide that you're going to respond, you don't even bring up the fact that you were ignoring them or that you were ignored, whichever side you fall on. You just apologize and off you go. I can say there was a situation, well, somewhat recently. It was in October. My younger sister had a birthday, and I typed a message to her and thought I had sent send. And I didn't discover until the next day I didn't. So my message was a day or two late. And again, that was very frustrating for me. I found it very hard to just let that go. I should have just sent that message and not said anything at all. But again, pick, pick, pick. Now, my sister is just about one of the classiest people I've ever had the privilege of knowing. So her response was just a simple thank you. I hope all is well. It didn't need to go any further for her because I think she understood my intent. One of the other ideas, and it's not my idea, I want to at least make that part known. I wish I was obviously and clearly this savvy, but one of the ideas was just to mention the fact that when you were looking through your old emails, you never realized that you didn't respond. Because that's probably more true than not saying anything at all about it. I mean, it clearly is. Or you can say, I had started a response, if you had, no reason to lie about it now, but I had started a response and I realized I didn't send it. Much like happened with the birthday wish to my sister. Now, there's, I think it's a great little article, and you can look up some of these ways because I'm not the end all and be all here. I'm on a journey just like the rest of you. But there's one that was written by a lady named Kara Hutto, Hutto. Quick little eight alternatives to saying sorry or saying sorry for the late response. And she makes it clear that you don't always have to apologize. Boy, that's right away. She wasn't making a fan of me because I always got to apologize, right? That's the way I keep my relationships. But in business, you might say thanks for your patience. If you're friends, you can say lunch is on me because I screwed up. I didn't respond. I gave a delayed response. That works. Okay, let's get real now and get together. And then you set a time. There are people who have empty inboxes because they're so good at responding to emails or deciphering what needs a response. In one of my email accounts, I have over 5,500 messages. I don't know that I'm ever going to take the time to look through them because my general assumption is 5,490 of them are junk. They're ads I didn't sign up for. But I suppose I should probably look and make sure that I haven't overlooked something. But it also comes off somewhat, as Ms. Hutto says, and as I often say, it comes off a little passive-aggressive, because it's like a backhanded compliment that you're saying, you know, congrats to you for staying on top of your email. Ha, ha, ha. No, it's the fact is that you ignored your responsibilities to respond. Certainly, you can say that you had hoped to respond sooner, but, and then it doesn't matter. She suggests that, but I'll tag on there. It doesn't matter what comes after the word but, because it's always going to be seen as an excuse. It might be seen as a reason, but ultimately the receiver of the but message is going to see it as an excuse. I certainly would. Sorry for the delayed response, but I couldn't take the time to respond to your message because, you know, the Colts were playing, or we had dinner plans that night, or we were watching TV. Yeah, man, you cannot interrupt that time. I don't care that you have liver disease. We're human. We make these mistakes. But when doing so, are we willing to truly and honestly and sincerely learn from them and learn from them in a genuine way? Are we willing to say to ourselves, wow, I really did mess up? And it has to start there, right? Our ability to communicate has to start with self-analyzation. We have to be able to understand that we're not perfect before we can explain that to someone else, before we can hope for forgiveness. We have to first forgive ourselves. And that's the hardest thing for most of us that find ourselves to be emotionally attached or emotionally addicted. Maybe it works the other way, where we have to admit to ourselves our inability to communicate if we are not emotionally attached. Because we have to start understanding that our lack of words, just as much as our power of words, can affect somebody's outcome. And is it right for us to do that? These are thoughts. And you've got your own. I'm still thinking that my ability to communicate with this one individual will lead to better communication for other people who will reach out to me in the future, especially when it comes to communication about liver diseases, when it comes to communication about colorectal diseases, ostomies, so many different things. Sometimes it might just be, when are we getting together? And the easy response to that always has been, you choose. Well, that's no better than not picking the place to eat dinner at. Why don't I choose? And then see how the chips lie. See if I am worth that attention. Trying to keep that communication alive. Trying to keep communication two-way as opposed to one-way. Just as importantly as trying not to feel offended and hurt if I've been left on read. And that's really hard to do because it's a natural default. It's a natural default. But I hope I don't dismiss people that I've read in kind of convinced myself that, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I hope that they figured out whatever it was. I'm moving on. I'm not going to take the time to go back and at least attempt the fix. Should I say nothing at all? Should you say nothing at all and just respond as though clearly nothing happened? Or you put it out there so that the hope is the person brings it up and then you can clear that air. So I just move on with my response, and then this individual would say, hey, you know, I messaged you 4 months ago and you said you would get back to me and you didn't. And I got to tell you, that sucked. Or I got to tell you, I'll never do that again. Or I got to tell you, you must have boatloads of research. How's that for passive aggressive? Because you didn't get back to me for the last 4 months. Whatever the response is, should I wait for that individual to bring it up? Or do I just go right for the elephant in the room and say, I am sorry. And I realize that I made a mistake. Why is it that in those things to remember, that's probably the hardest thing to do? Oh, Elton John wrote a song about it, did he not? Sorry seems to be the hardest word. Because it's a humbling, it's a letting go of our own ego, of our own need to be right, where again, instead, maybe we just need to be kind and apologize. And we move on. Because we have to. Just like we do with this episode. Again, I'm so grateful that you take the time to join us here on The Art of Letting Go. I look forward to our time together each week, as I will next week, as we return to The Art of Letting Go. But in the meantime, I'm James Steensma. Take care. Hey friends, it's James. I'm liking this idea of throwing a challenge out at the end of the episode, and I want you to also encourage me to do the same. But let's encourage each other. Let's challenge each other to communicate better. And maybe in doing so, we can finally let go of someone who's hurt us or someone that we've hurt along the way. So reach out to someone this week that you know you could communicate better with, and let's start there. It's a great opportunity, especially with the holidays coming and with this new year coming that we are hoping and praying for new and lasting change. Let it start with us. Do remember, friends, that if you know of someone who is struggling right now, or if you yourself are struggling right now, especially during the holidays, pick up that phone, text 741-741. That's the crisis text line. Include the word home in your message, 741-741, and someone at the crisis text line will respond to you right away, and you will begin a journey of talking with them on how to get through these seasons in life with the joy that you deserve. Friends, thanks again for joining me. I'll see you next time on The Art of Letting Go. Until then, I'm James Steensma.